Okay, here we go for episode 4, Calling Monica. Oh, that didn't work out. Guess she hung up on me. Weird. Try again.
Hi, hi.
Did you just hang up on me?
No, I'm not to be argumentative, but I think you hung up on me.
I don't know about that.
You might have started off on the wrong foot.
Welcome to episode 4, the 4th and final episode of our annual funding campaign, where we interrupt the conversation that we're having in order to ask you to consider making a donation to us this year.
It's so meta. It's nice to hear it explained. It really makes me realize how meta it is.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the past 3 episodes we've been talking about like kind of one specific moment that in this past year that then kind of led us down various other rabbit holes or paths or something.
Yeah.
But one moment that kind of unpacked to a variety of other things. So for this episode, I want to try to do something different.
Okay.
Which is, this is not about one moment. This is sort of about something that has been kind of the backdrop to every moment of this past year in some funny way. And I'm going to call this episode, Everybody Keeps Talking About.
Yeah.
Wow. You had such there.
Yeah.
Was
such
a, that was such a really great, like, yeah. Like, because what do you have, like, what do you think everybody keeps talking about?
Well, I think, but this, the joy of working together and not really knowing. But I'm wondering, my first thought was that this is the fact that the Louvre ripped us off.
It is not.
Oh, well, heck. Forgive my... I thought that's where you were going.
No, but I really do. I hope that makes the final edit of this episode, because I love that I went to great lengths to really unpack that whole experience. But ultimately, I like that it can be reduced to the Louvre ripped us off.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
It comes up all the time.
It does. Right.
In
okay.
really wonderful ways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I feel like, I feel like there's been like one kind of overarching phrase, like literally a kind of like frame over every decision, every conversation, every, you know, every show, every potential for a show, everything we're planning for next year, all the grants, all the budgeting, all like in every kind of corner of the industry, from like the administrative side to the producing side to the performers to the designers, like there's some sense of like it's a really hard time for the arts.
Yeah.
And I think like I'm starting to lose a little bit of sense of why. I feel like it's something we both kind of like just accept at this point, like, well, it's a really hard time for the for the arts. We're in the arts. It's a really hard time for the arts. And I don't know, I just, part of me just kind of wants to understand if we can like talk about why.
It's so funny. I thought you were gonna say like part of me just wants to talk about something else. I was really gonna go with it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
I
love that you brought it up.
Yeah, I mean,
that's surprising. Yeah,
yeah, I feel like people have been saying theater's dying since theater was born.
Yes,
is sort of my like impression of it. I don't know if that's true. Like,
yeah, like definitely.
Dance is sort of like its corner on the market is like the size of the poetry shelf at the bookstore.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's funny. It's always hard to know who's leading who. In a way, I think that the thing that I feel like we're not talking about, but is really what I understand to be true, is that people are just not seeing as much live performance. And I think that that impacts all of us in different ways. But I feel like the problem, and I think that the arts has just gone through these waves, you know, like I feel like I remember hearing about like the 90s when the NEA used to like fund these incredible national tours and just like everybody was on like everybody toured. It was just this huge piece of their budget. And then that just stopped. And then there was this, you know, moment of like, oh my gosh, how will we ever recover? And then, you know, people then recovered in other ways. So I feel like to your point of like, it's sort of constantly like dying and shifting. But I think the thing that's really hard is just to say, like, I don't think that people who used to go see shows are seeing as many shows. And I think the pandemic just sort of made us get out of the habit of doing that. And then, I don't know, I just think there's something really profound in that. Like it's almost like if you just have less friends and you just feel like my life is hard, I don't have, you know, but it's like there's something really, I think it's almost too painful to sort of just admit, like, I used to have, like, you know, a dozen friends, and now I feel like I have three.
Yeah.
And I think you can kind of come up with these, like, reasons for that.
Yeah, I definitely think I used to have a dozen friends, and now I have, like, three. For sure.
But I think
this is not, this is actually really not fun now, because you just made it about my life. But those three friends are really great, or like,
exactly,
and that's why it's good.
yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. There's just this attrition that I think, like, we don't really know how to speak to. So I feel like we then end up really speaking around it in a lot of ways without just saying, like, why are people, like, not coming to see shows as much? And I think that's I don't know. I feel like that's, that at its very heart is like the problem, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think it, but then I think it's really, it's just so hard to understand what to do about that. But instead of sort of really talking about that, I feel like we talk about so many other things.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, somehow, like, marketing becomes this sort of, you know, red herring kind of conversation where it's like we're really talking about how to reach people. Right. But I think, like, I don't know. I feel like, isn't it that the people are just not coming? It's not that we're not.
Yeah, we're not. It's not that we don't have, like, the best images and pull quotes and titles for them. It's
totally,
just that they've stopped paying attention. Poor marketing people. It's not your fault.
No, exactly. I feel like we blame it on marketing. I feel like we blame it on artists. I feel like we sort of blame it on, like, who, in some ways, I think it's, there's been, you know, like, a, what should we present? And I think some of those questions are really wonderful, and I think they should be just constant. Like, you know, what are, you know, what's the vision of an institution and who's being presented? And I think we should really be, like, asking questions about that. But, you know, I think sometimes I feel like that also then filters down to artists to sort of be like, you know, maybe the show just isn't interesting enough, or I don't, you know, I feel like there can be a weird way where I think that turns around on, like, well, if the show spoke to everybody, then the audience would be full. Or I just sort of think, like, everyone's, like, hot potatoing the problem around.
Yeah, I guess I do feel like I've received that hot potato and thrown it to myself many times. I'm like, well, you know,
yeah.
It's just my fault. Like, the show's not good enough.
Yeah, totally. Same. Or, you know, and what's so hard is there's, like, truth in everything. Like, there's enough truth that I feel like, I think we really believe in, like, doubting our own relevance. And I think there's something really healthy about that as an artist, that you really need to, like, doubt, like, is the thing that I'm interested, or what, you know, is the thing we're making actually relevant to anyone? And if nobody likes it, Is that because it's, like, I think the sort of classic, like, well, it's just so, it's so beyond its time or something that you
Right.
sort of feel like, or it's so funny that nobody laughs
Love
because,
that. Yeah.
you just feel like, no, I don't know. I think if it's nobody laughs, it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
easy, you know.
Yeah. And maybe the only thing that's beyond the time is ourselves. Just right.
Even by the fact that I feel like that's not even the way you say that.
No. Yeah. I just
Indicates that.
Aged out of the
I
relevance.
know. I might be beyond the time of even understanding how to make that comment.
Yeah. I mean, to return to one thing you were saying, like, there are just so many reasons. Like, there's, I mean, I think it's, like, really, it's expensive to go see a show because, like, people, the theaters that are presenting shows are looking for more income. I think artists are wonderfully, like, looking for better wages, and we really believe in that. I think institutions are, have tighter budgets, so they're looking for, it's sort of a cycle. I think there's, like, so, I think there's a cost barrier. I mean, that has kept me from going to see stuff, for sure, where I'm like,
absolutely,
I don't want to see that show. Oh my God, it's $400,
Right.
Like, genuinely, like, I've looked at shows and I thought, like, I could go to that, I will have to spend $400. I mean,
Yeah,
not necessarily on just the ticket, but there are definitely some shows where I have looked at, like, a ticket price, and it's like, that's $300, and then with the fees and stuff, it's like $350. Anyway, so there's a cost barrier.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you can't talk about it without talking about the fact that, like, there is so much exciting entertainment on screens.
Yep.
Is really easy to access, and you don't, it's lower cost for sure than going to the theater. Like, and I'm not even talking about, like, the golden age of television, which I never really believe in anyway. But I'm just talking about, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
Which I don't
watch.
But, like, like, the YouTube stream is just feeding you, like, watch this alligator sneak up on these people at this golf course. And, like, that's just thrilling,
Like,
yeah. It's hard to want to go to, like, the Crucible.
3-hour play. Yeah, completely.
When you can see, like, I might just sort of watch this alligator sneak up on people instead. So there's that. There's, like, a culture. Yeah. And there's the pandemic that I think genuinely has caused some, like, there's residual fear of being in a crowd.
Yeah.
I don't even know that it's necessarily a fear, but there's a lack of comfort being in crowded spaces that I think is just going to, is just part of who we are now.
Yeah.
But I think what you're talking about is sort of like, I mean, I love that you're sort of pushing beyond the sort of specific levers of it, which I do think, like, like, that example, like, the WP is sort of saying, like, well, let me get in there and adjust the lever of this. Let me, like, why don't we offer, masked only performances and see if that helps bring some people back. And I think, like, Soho Rep, I think still does 99 cent Sundays. Like, they were doing it in the 90s and they're still doing it now. But I feel like, those are sort of, like, small adjustments we can try to, like, make to the levers of, like, in a small way. But I feel like you're talking about something, like, much bigger, that just, like, people don't think they need it anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, do you have a feeling of, like, what there is to do about that? Like, do you want to do something about that? Like, does that, like, if that's your feeling, like, what do you, like, I don't know. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel that to not say this in a double negative, but I sort of feel like that's the problem. And I feel like we're just sort of not addressing it directly. So I think there's actually just one huge step to just say, like, people don't seem to really find this as necessary as they used to.
Yeah.
And then I think, as you're saying, like, in a way, I think the only things we can do are sort of examine and change all the pieces around the thing, the event. Like, and hope that within all those small adjustments, we start to sort of hit on part of what the problems, the reasons are. Like, yeah. I think we can, I think it's really worth thinking and addressing, like, how much things cost. I think it's really worth thinking about, like, where are things located? Like, I feel like there was such a great, like, friends of mine who are parents of a young kid who live in Brooklyn, and we did a show in Brooklyn, and they just said, like, thank you for doing something in Brooklyn.
Yeah, which, like, they probably were saying to you, because they're like, we know you don't come here. Because
it's totally not true.
Okay, it's, okay, it's not true. Yeah. You do come to Brooklyn.
I do.
But I will say that a couple members of your family.
Yes.
Two that you're very close with, one being your dear husband and the other being your dear mother.
Yes.
Have both referred to Brooklyn as not a part of the city.
Well, yeah. Those. Yep.
Or kind of like its own city.
Can you even get there on the subway?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She's not from here. So.
No, she's not. Yes. But, like, you know, but I think there's just something. I think that's such a simple.
Yeah.
You know, or when the shows are, that I think we're doing a project in the spring that's going to happen at, like, noon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think just somehow being open to sort of re-examining all the pieces, including the thing you're making, you know, to somehow question, like, what would people want to see? Not in a crowd-pleasing way, but in a sort of, like, you know, I don't know, like, what is it about the alligator who's going to sneak up on the family? I don't, you know, like, yeah. Is it? I don't know.
Should we do that in a show?
Should we try and make that happen?
Yeah, we have Xiao Ro come out in, like, an alligator costume. I don't know why. It just seems like she'd be good.
Think she could pull it off.
People would be like, that's how you're using Xiao Ro?
Xiao Ro, yeah. Yeah.
Doug Verone would come and just, like, grab her. Like, you're not doing this. He would, like, walk out on stage.
Yeah. I don't know. Or to understand something about, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Just to not reject the premise, not to reject the, like, central problem. Or to say, do we also... You know, I think it's interesting that in a way I feel like there is a sort of strange message that I feel like the, you know, by presenting less, I think it's also, you know, like there is a way of saying, like, does the theater want to do less? Like, you know, I think there's been a lot of real conversation around, like, are we working, you know, is there, like, not enough work balance in, like, life and work? And I don't know, you know, I think there's also something to just say, like, Maybe less is better for some institutions or some people. Or I just sort of feel like it feels like it's all a bit reactive. And I think there's something sort of there's a turn to take in the conversation of, like, what's really happening and, like, what do we and then, you know, sort of what do we need and want from the conversation?
Yeah, yeah. Is Dave making eggs?
Sharpening the knives.
He's sharpening the knives. It's a good time for it. Yeah. He's like, it was my birthday last night. I'm feeling like I want to get into this new year with, like, the sharpest knives possible.
There's really been a lot of, there's a post-it on the door. There's been some text reminders that we're recording.
Yeah, you probably have that red light. You probably switched out one of the lamps.
I did.
Recording light. Yeah. But you got to sharpen the knives. I mean, you never know, you know?
You never know when you're going to need all of them real
sharp. Do you like when the knives are sharp, or do you actually prefer when they're dull as can be?
I'm in a just somewhere right in the middle.
Right.
The real dull is dangerous.
Yeah, but
the real sharp is dangerous for me too.
Yeah.
Oh, those. Sorry, just a domestic clause
No, that's
in
great. I love that.
shared
Yeah, and if you
one room
got, if
discipline
anybody
class.
listening has a dull knife at home, please drop it off at
Just
company headquarters.
We will get around
The
to
first,
sharpening them during 9 to 5 work hours.
they will be sharpened. Yeah,
Yeah.
bring it down to
Yeah.
where it doesn't belong and sharpen in the hell out of your
Sharpening
knives.
knives. And just to like double way back, if this even makes it in the episode, but the reason why I bring up like you have less friends, like the that I feel like
And
there's
but when
just
you
like
say you're talking directly to me that I have less
no,
friends. I have fewer
no, I feel
friends.
like you've. I feel like I go through these moments in my life where I somehow, as I think anyone who like, you know, you really live somewhere and then, you know, people leave the city or I don't know. Like I feel like I've gone through these sort of moments where I suddenly feel like, oh gosh, you know, I sort of had this, I had a community and now the community's smaller and I sort of feel, and I don't like that. But well, the thing that I find interesting is that I think that the worst thing you could do is go out and try and meet new people and really talk about how you no longer have as many friends as you used to have to the new friends. Like, I think that there's just something that just doesn't inspire somebody to be like, let me step into that void for you. And I think that's what I worry about the kind of conversation that I think we're having around like it's hard in, you know, that live performance is really struggling right now.
That
I sort
it
of feel.
makes it unattractive for
Yeah, I think
audiences to
there's.
try to want to participate in overcoming the hurdle.
Yeah. And I think
Yeah.
we really, you know, challenge ourselves to not, I don't know, to have that conversation, to have the sort of like, what can we do to really change the way we're working? And as opposed to sort of bemoaning the fact that people aren't interested in something that was just a lot easier.
Well, don't go out there and say you don't have any friends. My main takeaway from this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't tell the new friends.
Don't
And
tell them.
honestly, don't complain to the old friends. I think, yeah, you're right. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, just don't tell anybody how you feel.
Good. I see how that does seem to sort of narrow down to Oh, shoot, friend. Are we pitching?
Oh yeah, we got a pitch.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Are you ready?
Well, do we want to do something nuts or do you want to do it?
I do the pitch?
Yeah.
I feel like people are probably really into you doing it. I could give it a shot. Maybe we do like we each do one.
I love that.
Okay. Do you want to go
Okay.
first? Or do you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, there's music. It's a really weird time, and I think it's a really lonely time. And I think that our work really addresses what's weird about this time. And I think if your heart is open to it makes you feel less lonely. If your heart is closed to it, we can't do anything for you. But if your heart is open, I think we really can make you feel like you're together in your loneliness. So please donate to us, and we'll continue making things about this weird, lonely time.
Oh, that's a beautiful pitch.
Yeah, okay. You want to try one now?
Whew, really, it's gonna be hard not to address loneliness.
Well, I feel like that's what we've been talking about. I mean, how many times
It's
have we
true.
mentioned the fact that I don't have friends anymore? I mean, I'm not. I do have friends. I have, like, honestly, what I meant is I don't have time for my friends anymore, is
Yes,
actually what
that
I
is
meant.
what you said
Because I have
before.
so many of them, and I'm so likable and relevant to the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've got it.
Okay, you got it?